Good morning, Streams. We are at an interesting crossroads as a fellowship. I want you to look around and see what God's going to fill in this coming year. We're believing that God is so awesome that he's going to meet our requests to fill every seat in his house. Amen? Let's see. Who shall I? Oh, Gary wants to do it. Okay.
Bibbles. Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
I am everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We have started on a journey which everyone who knows me, I don't like taking baby steps. It reminds me of What About Bob, a movie that I detest, because that movie reminds me of what we're doing. And I am a person that likes to go leaps and bounds with the cause of Christ and the things of God. That doesn't dismiss the realities of what we have to deal with. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the importance of us being people of the Word. And that we should line our lives up with everything that God says for us to live by. Last week, I talked about the enemies that we are facing. The world, our flesh, and Satan. Today, I would like us to talk about strongholds. In understanding where we're going, we have to not only understand that fact, but we also have to understand the reality we live. And in those realities, to become an overcomer requires more than just asking the Lord to save us. Okay? It requires us to make application of His Word so that our lives are changed and that we can do what He has called us to do. And that is to preach the good news to every creature, to destroy the works of the devil, and to set captives free. Amen? That's our job. Okay? We're not to do battle with Satan. We're not to do battle with our flesh. And we're not to do battle with the world. And so, why am I talking about becoming an overcomer? Because I want us to understand that where we are presently is not who God sees us as, a finished product. But we have to take these steps in order to begin to realize what a changed life really means. And so, I want to say one important thing, and that is people are never our problem. We can be mad at people. We can focus on what people are saying to us. But really, what we want to do is begin to transcend our minds to focus on the influences, which are spiritual in nature, that influences each and every one of us to say, to do, to think contrary to the Word of God. Okay? Proverbs 23 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Very simple. Very simple. Whatever way that you are thinking about is expressed in your life. We are not born again just to be Christians. We are born again to be warriors. Warriors of love. Warriors no longer confessing what Satan wants us to confess, because all that works against us. If we are confessing what Satan wants us to confess, we will never confess what God wants us to confess, and we will never build our faith. And what happens is, over a period of time, we're confessing what Satan wants us to say, and then we're wondering why our lives haven't changed. So a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I believe that the way we think directly affects us in this life. Our thinking is a result of everything that has happened to us, everything that has been taught to us, and everything that has influenced us has put us in a fallen state. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We must realize that we have an exchange life at the cross. And Jesus got the raw deal. Jesus took all our sin, all our fallen thinking, all our fallen habits, and gave us his righteousness, gave us his position, which is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has given us his very life for us, to us, that is in us. Okay? Every one of us have these cores that I had said to you before in us. And they were solidified before we came to Jesus Christ. When we start reading the word of truth, and I'm guilty because my old Bible shows the marks of disagreement with God. It does, you know. How can God say this? This is not true. But everything that God says is true. And we must think about who we are according to his truth. If we are constantly resisting change that God wants to do in our life, that is not a badge of that we should wear. We should want change in our life. Change in the way we think. Change in the way we do stuff. Change who we are. That's called being a kingdom person. There are no tags attached to becoming a kingdom person, because an overcomer is a kingdom person. To receive salvation only gets us through the door. And there's many that believe they've got everything. And the truth of it is, they do have everything. The fact of it is you got to walk through this stuff to become that which God has called you to be. We've heard the words process. I call it sanctification. Because we're being set apart. We're set apart from the world. We're set apart from our flesh. We should learn how to deny our flesh, to kill our flesh, to kill its desires, because it will get us into trouble. And we need to understand how Satan uses these things against us to make us fall, and then he goes to the Father and accuses us. For myself, I'm tired of it. I want to build believers that are more than conquerors. That has been my personal mandate from God. And not everyone who's coming here, because you guys will teach those who are not here yet. If our resistance to change is so much so, we need to understand that that resistance to change starts with the way we think, and that's called a stronghold. Think about this. What has God said to you that requires you to change that you have been unwilling to change? Today we're going to give you the rudiments of that. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, by definition, is a well-fortified place, a place that serves as a center for a group holding a controversial viewpoint. Think of your mind as a place where you're holding a controversial viewpoint. And God comes, we read His word, and God comes and says, that's not proper. This is proper. But we resist it. We resist that thought that actually is a key to unlocking the potential that God has placed in us. We resist it. We are not to be changed into my image or some other person's image. We are to be transformed into the image of our King, Jesus Christ. If we are resisting change, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And if you resist the Holy Spirit, He's not going to put up with your shenanigans. He's just going to leave. How sad for us as warriors that someone in our camp who professes this is actually at odds with us. They're not us. We welcome them to be part of us, but if you're resisting God, sad on you. It requires us to become disciplined or disciples of Christ. Whatever He says, our response should be, yes, Lord. When He spoke to me years ago about tithing, I couldn't rub two nickels together. But when I read it, I said, "What my Bible? This is crazy. This is nuts. God wants me to give when I don't have enough to even take care of my family." And so what we realize is that in the course of this, God wants to stimulate our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Isn't that what Hebrews says? And we need to understand that everything in our life has to work by faith. What Jesse has shared is a work of faith. She believes God. I believe God because I'm directly involved in this and seeing what God has already prepared for us. So my faith is excited. And we haven't even seeded it yet. What we need is to intravenous. Put our Bible up on a rack, hook a hose to it, and put it into our bodies. So that faith comes. How does faith come? By hearing. If we are not confessing God's word, how can faith be built up? If we're constantly saying what the enemy says, we will never be built up. And if we're beginning to say those things, we have to start thinking of the possibilities of what God wants to do. Can you imagine that after this concert, we have $20,000 on top of what we're already giving to repair a roof that I had stated that these men that were up there is in deplorable shape. My mind starts running off. Man, we could throw this concert. We could pay this debt off on the building. We can do so much through God. But we have to seed. We have to get behind what God says. That's why I say, how many of you love God? We love God. Jesus said, you love me by doing those things that I asked you to do. Not the things you want to do, not the things that you feel is right. That kind of thinking is opposed to God. 2 Corinthians tells us, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Meaning, we're just at the door. All things have passed away. When I came to Jesus Christ, all things passed away. I'm now on this side of the cross. Okay? All things are new. It's open. Whatever God wants, it's open. I have to believe that God wants to bless me. And I've heard conversations of people, why doesn't God bless me? Well, read your word. He'll tell you. But let us continue. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Thank God. We can stop trying to earn his love. We can stop trying to earn our way into heaven. Although I have my ticket. Next week I'll show you. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry is, we're no longer conformed to the things of the world. We're beginning to reach out to people who do not know him, or know him by a false pretense. And the image that we have is he's a lousy God. I don't want to serve him. It further says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses to ourselves, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Not only a ministry has been given to us, he has given us the word. What is the word? Jesus Christ. Read John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus reconciled the world of which we were part of which we are no longer of. And he wants to transform us. And the Lord keeps his hand. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. That we may become. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine, because it says that God loves you no matter what, and that's true. But we have a part to play in this. And what we do to grow is about rewards, not about punishment. God loves us so much that he, at the end of this age, which is coming, it is racing to a conclusion. That anybody who is part of the world will be lost forever. How sad. It should be in our heart to want to tell people about the saving love of Jesus Christ, what he has done, what he has done for the world. But in the world, he has given us his faith to grow, so that no matter what the enemy, no matter what the flesh, no matter what the world throws against us, we just push it off to the side. We continue on with the cause of Jesus. Not saying that that stuff doesn't have to be looked at. Example, the roof. We're still pressing on, but we're going to deal with that when God says so. It's not forgotten. And that's the way of the world. The world says, this isn't happening when it is happening, pushes it off the side to continue on doing their own thing. We need to recognize that these strongholds in our lives, these fortresses that are working in our lives need to be pulled down. But you can't pull down something you don't recognize. All these strongholds are put into our lives through our previous life, before we came to Christ. Now, when we come to Christ, everything is true that God has said. The reason why we implement the Word of God is to begin to start pulling down these strongholds. And we experience not only freedom, but we experience the victory of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, you know, I can live my life whatever. I can raise my family. You are responsible. You're going to stand before God and give an account for your life. It's going to be hard for us because we're going to stand there, give an account for our lives for rewards. How bad is that? Think about it. God's going to reward each and every one of us for hanging in there to the end, not only having our personal strongholds we have to deal with to pull them down, but also be ambassadors on His behalf. And at the end, He's going to reward us. What is the reward of the unsaved? Or those who want to live their life contrary to the Word of God? He'll make fast work of them. You're out of here. Workers of iniquity. I have nothing to do with you. You've already chosen. You didn't believe. Which sets us to a course of how these things stay in our lives to inhibit us from receiving God's love, receiving God's grace, receiving God's mercy, receiving the blessings from heaven, and also receiving the position that Jesus Christ has put us in. A lot of us feel that, like, we're so ornery and so dirty, sin-ridden, that we shouldn't have this given to us. And you're absolutely right. It shouldn't. But God so loved us that He did this for us. And we need to understand this. These strongholds that are in our lives self-sabotage us. Hear me. They self-sabotage us. We need to recognize, what are the causes of these things that self-sabotage us? I use an acronym. It's called CAUSE. C-A-U-S. Write this down. C-A-U-S-E. A. Or the first one is C. Comfort. What are we willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? We must be willing to sacrifice our comfort zones, and what makes us who we are without Jesus Christ. A, arrogance or pride. We wear this with a badge of, like it's something outstanding, but the fact of the matter is, it is an inhibitor, because we think we can do it. We think we don't need anybody else's help. I was one of those people. I was taught by my father that I didn't need anybody to help me achieve what it was that God was saying to me. And you know what? For a long time, until I came to Jesus Christ, that's how I lived. I would nod my head, yeah. But I would do my thing. Didn't get me very far. Until I met Irene. and I learned from her family how to pull together to solve a problem, but yet continue on without obfuscating the reality of it. Three, unbelief. If you love God, you would believe. Nothing's impossible to him who believes. Why isn't your life changing? Well, your life is full of unbelief. You don't believe what God has said. And so that is an inhibitor. It is a stronghold in your life. You need to really transform the way you think, according to Romans 12:2. Shame. Shame. A lot of us have done things that we're ashamed of, and yet we hold it close to our vests so that no one would find out who we really are. Because if they found out who I really was, they would reject me. Not in this environment. You are in a safe zone. Many times my father would say to me, "You're no good. You won't amount to anything." I never thought that my Father in heaven would have me stand before people to teach them that what my earthly father said was a lie. But I was believing it. Shaming us. To a point to try to inhibit us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives. And finally, the other thing is excuses. Excuses. I listen to people and what I hear is a bunch of excuses because I know the Word of God. And I simply say, "Well, have you thought about this?" "Oh no, this is not going to work." I'm trying to get people to understand what God says. Have you thought about this? Irene and I have this discourse a lot of times because I need to build her faith by speaking the Word of God over her as she speaks the Word of God over me. Well, that's fine for you because you don't have anybody speaking over me. Excuse. You do have somebody. It's you. Start agreeing with God. Start saying the things of God. And shortly you will see that the way you thought about things changes. Attitude towards our jobs at work changes. Attitudes about our spending habits. Attitudes about why we do this or why we do that changes. We now are being transformed into the likeness of Christ through our mind. We are no longer being consumed by our sin nature, our flesh, which is avidly lying to us, because the Word of God is now filling the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit, which is God, is teaching us. We're no longer as resistive to what he's saying. We're exhorted by the Word of God that these things are erected in our lives and should be pulled down. But it's one thing to recognize, it's quite another to really apply God's truth to our lives. The first thing I want to share with you is God has a truth about you. A real truth about you that most of us don't believe. "Oh, that couldn't be God." "Oh yeah, yes it is. I can tell you that God is so good. In my finite mind, God is even more, that's not even a word, is better than good to us. What you think about yourself, I bet you it doesn't agree with what God says about us. Here it is. This is what God says about each and every one of us. You are an amazingly remarkable and gifted person who is beloved by God. You are unique and important to the body of Christ. Nothing would be the same without you. Do you believe that? You should. You should believe that. You are unique. There's nobody like you on this planet. Think about it. We're at 7 billion people, and there's no one like, what? Thank God there isn't. But this is how God thinks about us. This is from God, who spoke to me, and now I'm giving you what he said. He also exhorts us. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20 says, let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. They are futile. How wise are you? The more I learn about God is I learn how dumber I am in comparison to him. He makes me wise. He teaches me things that I would not in any other circumstance learn about. And he wants to do the same in your life. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. How many times our friends, our so-called friends, want us to go partying with them, drinking with them, carousing, having a good time? And God says, have nothing to do with them. Why? Because bad behavior corrupts good behavior. God is trying to change your character. And if you're still persistent in this, you will never get to the blessings of God because he's not able to work in your life. And so what happens is God allows things to happen in your life to bring you to him. Many of you know my testimony, and part of my testimony is I rolled a car down an embankment with my whole family. We should have all been killed. All of us. But God. And from that time, I realized that my answer was not in the world. My answer wasn't conformity to the world. My answer was in Jesus Christ. And that night, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. And Irene received a good husband because of it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, unless the falling away first comes, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Are you getting a theme here? God doesn't want you to be deceived. But as long as we live according to the patterns of this world, we are in deception. God's truth, as painful as it may sound, is the best remedy for our situation. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through vain philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. If we maintain as John says, love of the world. We're maintaining that stronghold in our mind. I'm a victor. I am victorious. I am a warrior that overcomes. I am God's choice to lead His army to ultimate victory. And that army is not an army that wars with flesh and blood. It's an army that loves unconditionally, of which you are. You've received God's love unconditionally. He doesn't expect anything except us to grow up. When we came through the cross via Jesus Christ, our maturity level started then. Let me explain something to you. We're saying all these scriptures, and hopefully it's provoking you to think about areas in your life, because God is not mocked nor deceived. What you sow, you will reap. That is a principle of life. That is not a principle according to farming or to enriching ourselves or whatever. That is a fact. That is a kingdom principle that applies to everything. Everything begins with a seed. And the seed in the right environment and right conditions begins to grow. And the first thing that grows is its root system, right? In a stronghold, that is exactly what happens. Someone lies to you and you believe that lie, and what happens is in the right environment, that seed begins to grow. And a root comes in, making it a little bit harder to pull that out of your life. As the seed continues to grow, a blade comes through in our lives. I call that character. Because what is being forged is not the character of God, not the character of His children. And we can use the five things that I put on there. There's five things that I put on there with cause. And Satan and the world will use all this. We don't receive because we're filled with this. Does God want to prosper you? Yeah, He does. What are we saying here that is contrary to prosperity? Does God want to heal us? What are we saying that we won't receive our healing by? God wants to change us. What are we saying here? What are we using that is contrary to what God says for us? As the seed grows and this plant comes through, every plant produces fruit. And that fruit, Jesus said, you will know them by the fruit. By the fruit. If you didn't get it, by the fruit. Every one of us is producing fruit. Look at your fruit. Then look at your life. And see how it's either lining up with God or not lining up with God. Because if it's not lining up with God, we're using these five things to inhibit the Word of God from transforming. Romans 12:2 says, hear me, be no longer conformed to this world, but transformed by, everyone's paying attention, that's good, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God for you. You know, as we grow, we get to know Him more and more. And as our minds are transformed, as Jess was saying, you know, let's begin to start praying about this right now. Well, that's what God wants to do. He sees our faith is going to be energized into this, whether it's energized into giving to the building fund, which I've stated to you. You don't have to wait till the first of the month. You can give anytime you want. The faster we get closer to this thing, this goal, the sooner we're able to get that roof repaired. Jess came up to me, I guess a week later, she and Stevie came to me and laid this at my feet and said, you know, I really believe that God wants this to happen, this praise off the roof. And I felt my spirit just starting to really get excited about this. But as pastor, I'm supposed to contain myself a little bit, you know? What I saw was faith being energized. And I get excited when I see the people of God beginning to take the things of God out of the spiritual realm to manifest it in the physical realm. It's an idea that we can do, that we have done many things in the past to get us to this point. I was talking with Pastor Dan yesterday, and we were talking about how God has used the music festival as a training tool for Jess to this point. Thank God that someone heard something in my heart and took it and ran with it. And we're at this point that the more we give, the faster we can make the things that God has spoken to us happen in there. We got to get our faith built up. And over time, fruit is being produced in a person's life, and recognizing that kind of fruit, it's either good or it's bad. And it's not what is going on in your life, it's whether it lines up with God that will determine whether it's good or bad. In John 10:10, must remind us all the time that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he has come, Christ has come, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Satan hates you. I can't put it any other way. If you're living like the world, Satan can do nothing but rejoice in that, because he's got you. He's got you. This is a safe zone. This is where we're going to build you up. We're going to confess what God says about you, to do the things that God has said. Well, you know, that's not my experience. That's not what I've grown up with. I'm glad you said that. There are four main areas in which toxic seed is given an opportunity to grow in us. And if it's not dealt with, every lie, every falsehood, every vain philosophy of man is another brick that we believe, and it sets itself into our lives and constructs the stronghold. This is what Satan is doing to the body of Christ. And God says, he's not coming back for a bunch of wounded people who are waiting for the rapture and stuff. He's coming back, as I explained to you, to give us dominion, where he rules over the dominion that he has given to the sons of God, to cast Satan out. But most people don't believe that. They, you know, You look at what's happening in this country. There's so much anarchy and rebellion. Divorce is close, pushing 70% in this country. Over 55% in Christian homes. When the elders get together, we're going to begin to start planning how to build you in those areas. How to build your finances in such a way that it becomes an asset, not a liability to you. How to have an encounter with God that will change you. How to build the character of God within you that will not only make a difference in your life, but everyone that you touch. Wouldn't it be so grand that you walk into a room and the glory of God is on you, and you go in and you start touching people's lives with the gospel? Could care less about how they feel, what's going on. Just sharing the truth. You see, most people have a religion. They don't have a relationship. God won't work in my life. Well, take one out of five. It's unbelief. But there are four areas that this toxic seed works in. One, generational or environmental. By that I mean, curses are real. Curses on families are real. Look at it. About alcoholism. See how it permeates not only your present day, back. How far back does it go? Alcohol is, in itself, is not bad. It's the spirit behind it that's bad. Drug addiction is another thing. Poverty. Relationships. Look back. See how these things have come in. It can be passed on from generations of not being dealt with, or we'll just sweep it under the rug. Or in our present environment, look at the fruit of what's being bared. Two, counterfeit belief systems that are either twisted or ungodly. What do you believe? What do you really believe? And I would encourage you, write down your beliefs and see how they line up with God. That will determine how much work you've got to do. You've got to do. Our goal is conformity in Jesus Christ. Our goal is not conformity to the way pastor says, or Ken says we should be, or whatever. What does God say? He's the ultimate authority. He's the one who tells me. You know, all I can say is, yes, Lord. Or I can keep my mouth shut and allow it to play through, so I may be able to gain more wisdom and understanding to a circumstance. It has to line up with God. The purposes and plans of God. That's what we're about. Three. Staying in wounded emotions. Strongholds are erected to prevent further pain, which makes them even stronger and complexed. Words that were spoken to us many years ago still resonate within our minds and can handicap us. We need to know what God says about getting rid of that so that we can move on. And there are many people that are stuck in this place because their emotions. People have walked out in their lives. People have rejected them. People have accused them of things They're all hurtful emotions that we, I just need to hold on to this. No, you need to give it to God so that He may heal you. He may heal you. Don't you understand how much pain it causes me to know what's going on in a person's life, and yet they will not come to Jesus Christ to be healed? Your emotions. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with it. And fourthly, demonic oppression and involvement. I know of a case where a person believes that tarot cards is okay. Reading horoscopes is okay. Celebrating the evil holidays as okay. That's conforming to the world. That's demonically asking the devil to come into your life to run havoc in your life. And you don't even understand it. Well, it's no big deal. If it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to you. That's why He said, you will have no other gods before me. If we bow down to a demon or demonic strongholds in our lives, what are we doing to ourselves? We're deceiving ourselves that, and as He said in the prophet, in the last days they will call good evil and evil good. Are we not in those last days? We're almost in the last hours. These are the four areas that God wants to work in our lives to give us victory, to change our lives in such a way that our past is not shackling us to our future destiny. But yet, we come to the cross and we're shackled at the cross. We feel like we got to go around the cross all the time. No. Repent, get it over, covered by the blood, and move on. It's that simple. Steps for dismantling these strongholds. And all of us, remember, all of us have strongholds. All of us do. I'm going to give you the simple end of it. How do we dismantle strongholds? I'm glad you asked. I know it's a heavy, but I want you to understand God loves us. He doesn't want us to continue just in where we are, where we're just existing. And that's where many of us are. We have to receive God's truth. We have to not only receive it, we got to believe it. The way we think about stuff is contrary to what God says. And everything lines up with God. Two, we need to repent. Repent for following the lies and believing them as true. Remember I said, you know, what we believe, what has been taught to us, what has influenced us in the past develops our belief systems. We need to repent of them. Oh, I'm sorry that I believe. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God, turning away from that and forsaking it. That's the biblical example of repentance. Not that you learn about this stuff and, oh, okay, it's bad, but I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. No, repent. Then stay in God's word. The more word that's in you, the more God has the opportunity to change you. As He changes you, you will confront these strongholds. Agree with God by speaking His truth so faith may come. Again, how does faith come? By hearing. Irene would get tired of me because I'd be reading the Bible and saying it aloud. I still do it, but now I have an office to do it. She just closes my door. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Speak His truth. You know, read the Word aloud. You know, we're creating a generation today. You know, Mackenzie just brought it to mind. We're living in a generation that doesn't know how to relate. I sat in Starbucks one day, a year or two ago, and I was contemplating some stuff, and I sat down to have a cup of coffee, and I noticed these young people, probably in their 20s, and they're texting. She texts, he's reading, he looks at her. He texts, looks at her, she's reading a text. It dawned on me that that's how they're communicating. Put the stupid devices away. Leave them in the car. Do whatever you got to do. That is not to control your life. Your life is hidden in Jesus Christ. There are tools, there are great tools, but that's not your life. And what we need to understand is the more that we're becoming, what's the word I'm looking for? Engaged with electronics, the less engaged we become with each other. Because we allow this stuff to take over our lives instead of Jesus. Fifth, walk in the freedom by faith through applying God's truth to your life. The key is walk in freedom by applying, not hearing. What you hear, God expects you to use, to make it part of your life. But you don't understand, Pastor. Just put whatever excuse you want out there. I don't understand. I understand more than you give me credit for. I'm trying to help you understand. I'm trying to help you understand in this sermon how strongholds are being built into your life or are already built into your life that hinder you from becoming that person that Jesus created you to be. You are unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beloved by God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. And with us working together, just think of how much we can do with Jesus at our side. Jesus is not waiting for us to have Him conform to our life. He's doing everything for us to conform to His. I have a song that I pray will get into your spirit that you need to either purchase and just continuously play it and play it and play it, because this is who you are, Ed. If you want to know that that is by Mandiza, go and download it. Go and purchase it. But get it into your spirit, because that's who you are. Next week, we're going to deal with building godly strongholds. And it happens simultaneously as we begin to dismantle those bad strongholds. Amen.